Next up, Labour Talk host and roaming correspondent Willie Terry attended the Left Forum conference entitled Towards a New Strategy for the Left in New York City, June 1st to 3rd at John Jay College, where he interviewed former New York City MTA Transit Union president Roger Toussaint on about contemporary issues and lessons in the labor movement.
This is Labour Talk correspondent Willie Terry, and I'm here at the Left Forum. I have as my guest Roger Toussaint, former president of the Transit Worker Union in New York. And how you doing, Roger?
Very good.
Roger, just tell us something about yourself, you know, because the audience may not know you much.
Right. Well, as you said, for 9 years I was the president of Transport Workers Union Local 100 in New York City, which represents all of the subway workers and most of the bus depots in the boroughs of New York City. The membership is close to 40,000 members. And it is the largest transportation union in the country. Before that, I was also a union officer in one of the divisions of Transport Workers Union for 6 years. My background prior to that was in community organizing and some campus organizing. And before that, I was an activist in Trinidad and Tobago, where I came from. At the age of 17, I emigrated from Trinidad to Brooklyn. In Trinidad, my activism began around the Black Power revolt there in 1970. Grew after that until I was arrested down there and expelled from school. Then I emigrated from Trinidad in 1974. I was active in the student movement at Brooklyn College and in various organizations involved in the fight against the racist killing of black youths in Brooklyn and around New York City, and in various organizations of activists who had come out of the struggles of the 60s and 70s.
Roger, I noticed you got the last name Toussaint. You know, Toussaint was the famous revolutionary Haitian leader. Are you in that language, genetic?
I'm not sure. I don't know. I do have family from my great-great-grandparents who were from Haiti. So that is possible, but I am not aware.
Okay. Now, what brought you to Left Forum?
Well, actually, I was simply asked by a friend and colleague, a professor at Tuskegee University, to participate in a panel on race and labor-related issues. In honor of his request, I agreed to come down and participate in the panel and make a presentation, which I just completed. So I'm just here for that panel, and I'm leaving.
Okay. The panel that you did was about contemporary lessons in black labor organization. So, in your opinion, what are some of the contemporary lessons in the black community labor organizations, and why?
Well, my experience is kind of directly related to that topic because as a black man, I became the leader of one of the most prominent unions in New York and around the country, and for a very powerfully strategically located section of the workforce, which is transportation in New York City. And as your listeners might know, in 2005 I led the strike of transportation workers in New York City that shut down the city for almost 3 days. The leaders of the city later claimed in court that it costed the city $300 to $400 million per day, just as an indication of the impact. Whether or not that is true, I have not been able to verify that number. But certainly, we took over a very powerfully located organization that had been traditionally run, led by white leadership from Irish background. In which the workforce itself was alienated from the union leadership, and even more so the people of color, black folks, Hispanics, were even more alienated. as well as women. There were thousands of women who were stuck in mostly entry-level positions as a result of race and gender bias. Lower-paying titles have a disproportionately large number of people of color. So we had to confront racism on the job as well as racism within the union and by the union leadership, which was the only one of their many sins. As I said, the organization had been, the Transport Workers Union, the local, had become deeply alienated from the workforce, from transit workers as a whole. And there were many features to that, but racism was one of the, was certainly one of the others, of course, being working hand in hand with the employers and the bosses to silence people and to crush resistance in the workplace and so on.
Roger, how would you categorize the labor movement, or how do you see the labor movement moving today?
Well, organized labor share of the workforce is now hovering close to 11%. It breaks down as something like 15% in the public sector, 6 or 7% in the private sector, making for an average of around 11%. A decline from its height of about mid-30s, around 35%, 40, 50 years ago. Some people argue that the decline of the market share for organized labor is changing. The data indicates that all that might have happened is that the decline has slowed, but the decline has continued. As a practical matter, this means that when you have 10 working people in a room, 9 of them are not in a union, only one is. That means that you have lost capacity to speak for the room, if you only represent one out of the 10 people in the room. In my opinion, that's a mostly a self-inflicted wound. It's one of the significant failures of the leadership of the labor movement at all levels, because they failed to build bonds of solidarity with other, with people who were not in the unions, workers, other workers, and with communities that were impacted by oppression and injustice. And they undervalued the importance of investing time and resources and attention to maintaining ranks and a front, a united front with all of those interests. So as a result, the labor movement is isolated in a significant way and does not enjoy the sympathy of working people. I have seen polls that have claimed that among working people, labor leaders or organized labor leaders have the same approval ratings as businessmen and bankers, meaning very low, 25% or less approval rating. That means at least the perception among working people is that the leaders of labor are not on their side, are not in their corner, are not fighting their fight. I don't blame the working people for that. I blame the labor leaders for that.
You don't think current administration has something to do with this? Or you think it's all self-inflicted process that keep labor in that position?
When you say the current administration, you mean the Trump administration?
Yes.
No. I mean, the data and statistics I'm talking about predated Trump. It happened, this has been going on for a number of years. That has been trending that way for long before Trump. Trump has now exacerbated some things. But on the other hand, Trump may turn out to be our best organizer. He might compel people to fight and to organize and link up in ways that they were not inclined to, 5 years ago. A good example of that is the pretty dramatic teacher strikes taking place in a number of the red states. These are demonstrations of thousands and thousands of teachers who probably voted for Trump and who are now been slapped in their faces and spat their faces have been spat in their faces by the governors and the conservative leaders in these states. And that's a wake-up call for them, and we'll see where that leads, to what that leads. So Trump cuts both ways. On the one hand, he will encourage right-wing attacks, more right-wing attacks at all levels, and more indecency and immoral attacks, such as the savage separation of children from their immigrant mothers. And this is just child abuse. His chief of staff, Kelly, called it a zero tolerance. It is not zero tolerance, it's child abuse. Literally, child in the worst ways. Official, unsanctioned, organized child abuse and bullying and so forth. So, things will exacerbate, but it will also prompt people. People could only be pushed so much. We don't know what that line is, but oppression breeds resistance and organization. And I look forward to a future that has more resistance and more organization, that a future that does a better job learning the lessons and applying the lessons, and doing a better job than we did, than my generation did.
Yeah, I just have one last question I want to ask you. What advice or views you would like to say to workers?
Well, I think lifelong word of advice of wisdom is organize, organize, organize. When you organize, it multiplies your strength. When you organize, you figure out how to message your issues properly and more effectively. When you organize, you have to clearly identify who your friends and allies are and the importance of those allies and how to strengthen your bonds and ties with those allies. When you organize, you have to be mindful of the things that weaken and undermine you, the fault lines around you, and figure out how to heal those fault lines. Organizing means all of those things. There are no shortcuts, there's no magic bullet, there's no savior coming down from either the heavens or from the White House or from Chicago or from any of these sources to save us. We can do this, but we have to. We have the capacity, we have the strength, we have the vision, we have the capability. Young people are showing a remarkable tenacity and brilliance. When we were young, we stepped up to the situations that we faced, and now, as is true forever, every generation has to find their own way. And I'm encouraged by the fact that this generation is you're seeing signs and stirrings of attempts to find their own way. And whether that lies in the stirrings you see among the teachers or the youth, the high schools, or the Black Lives Matter movement, or Fight for 15, or immigrant rights, fight against injustice, against an oppression of immigrants. In all of these social justice areas, you have fights emerging and soldiers emerging and thinkers and visionaries emerging. And at some point, that's going to congeal into a more unified movement and progress.
All right. Thank you, Roger.
That was roaming labor correspondent Willie Terry speaking with Roger Toussaint at the Left Forum Conference in John Jay College in New York City about labor issues and lessons.